Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today, August 25th, 2020. And today has quite a bit of energy running through it. We've had a void of course moon that broke this morning about 5 for some of you on the East Coast, and that means the moon has now moved into a new sign, so we're no longer in the deep of Scorpio. We are now in the lighter energy, but the more fiery, passionate energy of Sagittarius, the more adventurous soul, let's say. Scorpio has tons of passion. It's emotional passion. Fire energy is a little bit different. It's the fire of creativity. It's the fire of let's get going, let's do something, let's go out seeking. That's what Sagittarius energy is about. In a minute, we're going to go into the depths of what Sagittarius moon is all about. But we also have to talk about today's Pleiadian earth energy. We are at the 13th day. That means we are in the completion of a cycle, the completion of a spiral of consciousness, where today we are being tasked to go within and take a check-in time for all of the days preceding this, the days that began on August 13th at one choosing. And did we choose well? Would we choose differently as we're looking backwards over time? Is there something we would do differently? So today is a day for that backward looking, for that inward look in preparation of moving up to the next level. So that is why 13, the energy of 13 is associated with ascension and completion. And we'll talk more about what that means today, because it actually has a very good Earth day associated with it. And I think you're going to like what that energy is bringing up. Reminder, the sun is now in the gate 59 and the earth at the gate 55. So we're going to look at the stories in our 64 Faces of Awakening, the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook. We'll look especially at the gate 55 where the earth is sitting. It is one of my favorite energies. It is the dragonfly energy. And the dragonfly energy speaks to freedom. And in the shadow energy, in the gene keys, it would be victimization. Who wants that? That's so last century, right? Let's get out of victimization. Let's get on to the freedom. And that is exactly what the 55th gene key is talking about for us. And as well, we have a couple of major transits between planets, aspects between planets today. Mercury trining Uranus, and then also Venus opposing Jupiter. And I want to talk a little more about what each of those things mean. Let me check in with everybody, see how we are doing here this morning. Good morning, Monique, and J-Lo, and Camila, and Andy Girl, and Amy. Love to see you out there. And I love the way you changed your name. Amy, love you more sings. I love that. Rueda, hello to you. Tati, good morning. Joy Ann, nice to see you. Happy day. I love the little sunflower icon. Mimi, good to see you. And Jennifer Peachy, good to see you as well. And I'm sure anybody else who's out there this morning, take care. And I'm on my own this morning, I think. So I will have to be checking back in with messages. I don't have Asa this morning to remind me to go back and look. So, alrighty, let's go back now to our chat about the moon. So the moon is in Sagittarius today. And literally the only aspect that it is making is its square to the sun. So remember that the moon comes into new phase. And then about 7 days later, it comes into its first crisis phase. And this happens to be the crisis of action. And the square today is exact. And then we have the full moon. Then we have the next square, which is called the crisis of consciousness. So the quarter moons present us with opportunities to change direction, perhaps, to address a concern, to address something that has popped up in our field since the new moon in this case, because it is a crisis of action. It means that there may be something that's popped up in your field since you set intentions a week ago with the new moon that has caused you to stop, perhaps, or to think that maybe things aren't going to happen, blocks or limits in your thinking, sabotaging behaviors, whatever it is that came up for you during that new moon has now come into this crisis of action point. And this is always the point that reminds me of the energy of the six in our Pleiadian earth energy, because it's about flow. And how do you want to flow with this? Are you going to let it stop you? Are you going to dam it up and, you know, risk not in engaging with your intention or what it was that you wanted to manifest? Are you going to go with the flow? Are you going to go over, under, around, whichever way? You guys can't see my hand, but it's over, under, around. No, over, under, around. This should be a mudra, a mudra for the six, in not letting obstacles stop you completely. Obstacles are really just a maybe pause. They might be a stop sign for a moment where you stop and then you go, right? Based on new information that arrives from the universe. It can be something that's preventing you from making a big mistake. So don't take the crisis of action point with the moon as a reason to put off doing anything around what it is that you intended or what you wanted to manifest. It just means that there may be something that comes up that maybe you hadn't thought about initially, that maybe sets you in the right direction, the direction of the least amount of obstacles, right? Maybe it's that one obstacle that puts you in the right trail that gets you there five times faster. We don't know, right? So we have to trust that the universe is being benevolent and allow it to guide us into the right direction, into the taking the right steps, making the right plans. So don't get upset over your crisis of action point today. Just go with that flow and see where it is that the universe is prompting you to be instead. And even in that case, maybe it is something very lucky for you, because today seems to have a luck streak with it. And there's a couple of things about this. And here's where I love that this these systems, the Pleiadian earth energy and our astrology system, dovetail so beautifully, because today there is luck both in the moon's placement in Sagittarius and also the Pleiadian earth energy of the day, the earth day. So let's dive into the moon and talk a bit about what Sagittarius energy is all about. You all have Sagittarius somewhere in your chart. Let me share my screen for a minute and show you where that might be. Oops, that isn't going to help. There we go. Now let me share my screen. Then you all can see what Sagittarius looks like. Sagittarius is the sign of the archer, and it always looks like an arrow. So find the house or the sign on the outer wheel of your chart that looks like this. That's where Sagittarius is. And at the moment I drew up this chart this morning, the moon had just really moved into that sign. I've got this based on Washington time. So this was just a little after 7 o'clock my time this morning. And then the house that is associated with where Sagittarius is in your chart tells you where the action is taking place, where there's emotional energy available for some of the things that we're going to talk about next. So the house numbers are always right up here in the center. Everything begins at this 9 o'clock position. And I'm just kind of reviewing a little bit here because I know some of you are new. So it all begins here at the AC, which is initials for ascendant, are also called the rising sign. And this is where everything begins in a chart. And then it moves this direction around the clock, counterclockwise. That is the actual direction of the planetary movement, unless a planet is in retrograde. And right now we have several of them: Jupiter, Pluto, Chiriclo, Saturn, Ceres, Neptune. Thank God we don't have Mercury retrograde, Uranus is retrograde. So we have quite a few planets in retrograde at the moment. Eris is retrograde as well. So we have a lot of prompting moving us inward, checking in, like what's going on inside, right? We're embodying something new, some kind of new energy. And the moon shows us what it is that we are embodying then right now. So looking at this, we see that the energy of Sagittarius is about our quest for truth, the capital T truth, not the little truths that you think are real, right? Not those little tiny things that come up that we say, oh yes, this is that, and oh yes, this is that. Those are not the capital T truths, the bigger truths. Who are we? Where did we come from? How do we love more? How do we gain our life path and our life journey? Those are the energies of truth that we're looking for. And it brings up a quest, right? The hero's quest or the hero's journey. And every one of you are on that kind of epic journey, filled with battles and filled with hard-won opportunities. And all the juiciness of life comes from this quest that we are all on in our lives. Now, in the quest for truth, we have our religions, we have our spiritual beliefs, we have our higher guidance when we are tapping in to with prayer through meditation. All of that is a very moon in Sagittarius energy, as well as being frank and honest with where it is that our beliefs lie. What have we thought was true that isn't? So much in the world is so false, right? We see it. False news, fake news. We hear that all the time. And I'm frankly tired of hearing about that because it's all fake news, right? It's all fake news because there isn't anybody that really has achieved the wholeness of truth here on the planet. And part of that is our journey. Part of it is learning about what is the real truth here. What is the illusion? Teasing out what is the illusion from what is real. And in the Course in Miracles, it says very clearly that only love is real. Only love. So anger and upset and all those crazy things, that psychosis and the he said, she said, the division, the polarization, all of that isn't real. It's not of love. So anything of love is real. Only love is real. That's it. That's the very first sentence, basically, in the Course in Miracles. And if you follow that, then anything of love is real and anything that isn't is not. Right? It's just a distraction, some kind of discordant energy, a wave moment of something coming through to test you or to test our resolve to grow and expand. Now that brings me to another energy in the moon here, because the moon in Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter is about expansion and growth. Growth through education, perhaps. Growth through adventure. Growth through taking on and learning new ideas, new belief systems, new being open-minded enough to go on that quest and that journey. And there's also a connection to the natural world here with Sagittarius energy, where we're connected to nature. We realize our own selves as a part of the natural world, not separate from it. Right there is our first problem, right? Our first issue is when we separated ourselves from the animal kingdom, from the plant kingdom, from the soil, from the earth. We separated ourselves out. Here we have the opportunity to reconnect, bring it all back together, and find peace of mind in the knowledge that we are all connected, and we are connected to all that is, that we are connected to the entire earth system, to the solar system, right? We are star children, we are earth children, we are children of our parents, but we are all connected here to one another. So intuition also highly a part of this experience, and it's the kind of intuition when you are rooted in the planet, when you are really grounded, when you are open-hearted, open-minded, when you're seeking the actual capital T truth, you are open to, through intuition, discovery of what is real, of what is love, and of what is not love. Freedom, another word for Sagittarius moon, for Sagittarius planets. Freedom comes through spontaneity and adventure and exploration of travel. And I know travel's a bit limited right now in our world the way it is, but that doesn't stop you from exploring through the internet or through books or through talking with other people about different subjects and, you know, just being open and embracing the broader vision of the world. Spontaneity, let me say something here really quickly, because if you are not designed with spontaneous authority, then you have to be careful about spontaneity. Being spontaneous and deciding to take a walk on the beach is different from spontaneously deciding to quit your job. Two big different things, right? One has bigger ramifications than the other. The one that has the smaller ramifications or effect can be spontaneous. But if you have an authority in your human design that is meant for clarity over time, like emotional authority, then you must wait for that kind of clarity before making big decisions. So I always have to say that with Sagittarius moon energy, because it does sort of make us want to be very spontaneous, but we don't want to be so spontaneous we lose sight of our authority and our strategy for based on your type. Now, in more mundane, boring terms, the Sagittarius energy rules the law. So lawsuits and attorneys, court proceedings, the idea of ethics in law all comes through the sign of Sagittarius, while Libra itself rules justice under the law and the equal application of justice and the law. Sagittarius energy actually rules the proceedings, the inner workings of the court, including the attorneys and the concepts that you are using within the law. There's also the energy of conscience that comes through Sagittarius, having conscience. In the optimistic category, we have things like faith, being friendly, being open, good luck, and a generosity of spirit, right? Remember, this is Jupiter-ruled sign. So we have that optimism, we have that largesse, we have that generosity and magnanimity. That generous spirit comes through Sagittarius as well. Higher education, I said that earlier, one of the ways that we expand ourselves is through knowledge, and that might mean getting mentors, looking to a mentor, going to college, taking new courses or classes that expand your knowledge, creating a new philosophy, seeking answers, finding solutions, all of that kind of stuff also comes through Sagittarius energy. And as always, we have the more negative side of that Sagittarius energy or of any sign's energy. And here there is a carelessness that can sometimes come up through Sagittarius energy as they take shortcuts, right? They can so easily back up and see the big picture that it's like there's the short version from here to here that I don't need to go from here to here to here to here. Right? So they can sometimes take shortcuts, but they might be missing something in the shortcut that they needed to. So you have to be very careful that you're not taking shortcuts or making assumptions that, hey, if I'm going to go from here to here, that I don't need to go through all of this. That just takes more time. Well, that may be true, but there could be something really important along the way that you might miss. So don't make assumptions. Never assume, right? We talked a bit about that yesterday. It makes an ass out of you and me if you break the word down into those three parts. Self-righteousness, another negative energy that comes up in Sagittarius as we become so connected and so into our own belief system that we get short-sighted, we get closed-minded, we shut down that openness, and we become very limited, very tunnel-visioned. And then if we are unable to see how all of the concepts all fit together, then we can become very self-righteous in believing that our way is the only way. And our belief system is the only belief system, that there's only one real true religion and it's fill in the blank. That then breeds people that are fanatics and so forth. So we have to watch for that in Sagittarius, that we stay open and we stay large and we stay open and wide-eyed with wonder around what's going on in the world, other belief systems, and know that we're believing one way, that doesn't make the other person's wrong. And just because they believe one way doesn't make ours wrong, right? We can explore all of them together. And of course, the one big thing for Sag is bluntness, blunt talk, saying what's on their mind, not filtering their speech. So being careful about that, because there is the possibility that you can hurt people's feelings when you just jump out there with bluntness, right? If there's something judgmental or of a judgment kind of nature, a criticizing kind of nature that you feel like you need to say, that can only be said with an invitation, right? No matter how you're set up in your human design, those kinds of things always come with the invitation. Someone asks you literally to say what you're thinking about this idea, about their outfit, about whatever, and you get the permission then to say it. Or you ask, I have some ideas about that. Can I share that with you? Right? That's always the best way to share your voice. In the body, Sagittarius rules the hips, the liver, sciatica, which is kind of a pinched nerve sort of feeling that, you know, sends pain from the back down through the legs. And also the thighs or the upper legs are the domain of Sagittarius. So it's often interesting to me to find how different parts of my body may be expressing to me when the moon is in a different sign. And it's always interesting, right? There's something I'm missing, perhaps an emotional connection that I need to make to something. And my body is just reminding me of that in the moment. Okay, let me go back and check and see how people are doing over here. Good morning, Pauline. She says, I surely am blunt. Blunt is not what we want, right? Blunt isn't what we want. We want frankness. We want honesty. And I think that's what you're actually trying to express when we're blunt, right? That bluntness comes from a place of honesty, of coming from deep within, wanting to know the truth and speak the truth. But sometimes that truth can be harsh to others, and we don't speak it to others unless we have that invitation first, right? That's always how it is. Even if you have a defined throat in your human design, it would be a square here at the neck that would be colored in brownish, brown, tan, gold, whatever color your printer has. It still works best when it is invited out of you and not just like, oh my God, that dress. I can't believe you're wearing that today. That's blunt. It may be true, but it isn't your right to do that to somebody. So bluntness, no. Frankness and honesty, yes. Blunt if you are invited to do that. Yes, my pain in thigh and got sciatica. Wow. Yeah. So what is your body trying to tell you, right? Where are you needing more adventure? Where are you needing to be more honest with yourself? Just take it in and ask, you know, I always ask the body part. Some people might think I'm crazy, but I will. I'm like, what are you trying to tell me? You know, what does this mean? And wait for the answer, because your body will tell you when it's out of, when it's out of order, that's not what I'm trying to say. When it's out of alignment with something, it will warn you and let you know. It doesn't mean that you're ill or you're, you know, suddenly having a problem. It just means right now something's off, and come back into center. Jennifer, love and freedom, my two favorite words. Ruweda has Sagittarius in the 11th. So a big dream, Ruweda. Are you living the big dream? And what are you seeking? What are you searching for? Andy girl, like anything else in Sag or aspects to Uranus, Joyanne? I'm still fairly new to astrology. I've got to go see what Joyanne said. What is our truth when we grow Corey aware of attracting our experiences? I'm not sure what you meant by that, Joyanne, but I think what she means is, you know, the idea of truth is different for everybody, but there can only be one unifying truth, and that unifying truth is love, and how it gets expressed is our domain, right? So the overarching energy is love, but we all get to choose how we express that love, how we experience love, and that's where our free will comes in. That's where our freedom comes in, is in how we react to things, how we respond to our life, how we show up in the world is our free will. So Linda Marie, good morning to you. Andy girl says, definitely feeling that need for freedom. I'm a Sag sun. Nice to see. Oh, Sadie. Oh my gosh, Sadie. There she is, sleeping right at my back. And she's been funny this morning, running around meowing, like she tried to climb into my closet. I'm like, are you telling me something's weird? But it's kind of a weird day, so maybe she's just feeling it too. Okay, and let's see, going on. I love that you guys are all having the conversation in here. I can't follow the whole thing. Andy girl though says, I've got Venus in Libra at 29 degrees and also Mercury in Scorpio at 26. Not sure what drove that, because Scorpio, Christine Buckingham, Sag in the 8th, Saturn 25 degrees. So the moon will be hitting your Saturn. And I'm wondering about that for you because, Christine, that's usually a call for some, if, first of all, the moon hitting Saturn, not today, it won't be for another day, can bring you into that melancholic space. And in human design, we can see it so greatly because the solar plexus becomes melancholic when it's in creation mode, when there's something that it is incubating as an idea perhaps, or a creative moment in the making. And Saturn and the moon do that as well. They go take us into that lower part of the wave. And in the eighth house, there's some kind of death and rebirth experience that you are meant to be having right now. Maybe it's a change, and we'd have to see how your Saturn is connected to other planets. But there may be something of major reconstruction going on in your life, as it is likely for a lot of us, as we change and grow with the energies of the transits that are occurring. Kamal, it's so good to see you. We haven't seen you in a couple of days. I love that. Good to see you out there. And hopefully your life is going well right now. Okay, so carry on with your conversations with one another. I love that you guys can hold that space with each other. Thank you very much for doing that. Let's move on to our human design stories. Remember the sun we talked about yesterday, the gate 59. It is a gate, and the highest expression in the gene keys is about transparency, being open and honest in all ways, right? It is also about intimacy, the connection that we have when we bond. So it's a sexual bond as well as a bond from the emotional center, because it's reaching out to touch the emotional center. So the bond that connects us truly isn't just the physical of our interconnection, but also our emotional connection, how we show up for one another, how we love one another, how we support and care for one another. There is all a part of that, how we, from that connection, provide for the family, we provide for the community, the tribe, the state, the government, whatever it is that you're a part of. In its lowest energy, it is dishonesty, where we are not being transparent, right? The obvious shadow energy of transparency is dishonesty, or being obtrusive, kind of obfuscating the truth, where we're not seeing things clearly. So the 59 has that as part of its energy. And the 55, where the earth is all about either victimization in its lowest expression, or freedom, and or freedom, because the two, the gift and the siddhi in the gene keys is the same. It's freedom, right? I put it freedom in all caps for the siddhi, freedom, capital F for the gift, and victimization. We don't want that in the lower energies. That's the shadow. So I'm going to read the earth energy first. And this is coming from our book, The Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook. And let me show you the face. Here's our face for freedom. Look at his dragonfly on his forehead. Do you think I should get a dragonfly tattoo? No. But freedom is the hallmark here. And here's our face. Look at that lovely face. And let's see, freedom number 55 is, here's our story. First of all, the gift is freedom. Victimization is the shadow. Siddhi, also freedom. And it says, it is always at the very end, when we have all but given up hope of redemption, that liberation comes. Wow, that's profound. Here's the wisdom story. From as early as I can remember, I was moody. I constantly searched for outer reasons to explain my moods and spent my entire youth chasing after everything and everyone. I constantly searched for outer reasons to explain my moods and spent my entire youth chasing after everything and everyone I believed caused me joy, and avoiding or blaming those I held responsible for my pain. As I matured, instead of longing for superficial feel-good opportunities, I yearned to feel personally free, romantically fulfilled, and spiritually enlightened. So I embarked upon a quest for the perfect soulmate, teacher, and heightened state of being. I became a professional seeker, tantric whiz, and workshop junkie. Familiar to anybody? I fell in and out of love with so many people, practices, and gurus, I lost count. When I was in love, I believed I was free. But actually, I was trapped and addicted to the never-ending hope of romance, the dream of liberation, the catharsis of drama. I was hooked on disappointment and how secretly great I felt, complaining about my unending stream of bad luck. The roller coaster had no end. My emotions ruled me. Even though I could see and explain all of my issues, I was still hopelessly blind to the fact that I wasn't taking responsibility for my life. I was still giving my power away to something or someone out there who could rescue me or make me miserable. In the end, it was all about me, my love, my awakening, my happiness, my disappointment. It wasn't until I met a woman who saw into the core of my victimization that my heart cracked open. I could no longer hide from her or myself. It was through the intimacy of our relationship that I learned to face my deepest fears and most hidden agendas. For the first time in my life, I rose in love instead of falling. Ooh, interesting, right? Instead of falling in love, rise to love. Not just with her, but with all of life. I stopped complaining and blaming others. No longer burdened by complicated stories and devastating dramas, I was free to feel much more deeply and fully and to make decisions without agonizing and second guessing. No longer clinging to teachers or techniques, I started experiencing the kind of synchronicities I'd always dreamed of. Just naturally, I did more of what I loved, writing songs, enjoying friends, and spending time in nature. Now people tend to relax around me. They feel free to be who they are. I now know deep in my soul that I am connected to all of life. My gift to you? I come to tell you that the freedom you seek has nothing to do with what you do, what you understand, or how you feel. It has to do with the attitude you embrace, no matter what is happening within or around you. Can you live your life without over-relying on outer paths, systems, and structures to keep you safe? Can you fully feel whatever you're feeling without getting lost in drama or the stories of the mind? Can you experience a longing without rushing to meet it or escape it? Can you find peace during painful moments? Can you embrace not knowing? Can you simply be? Freedom is yours the moment you give up the thought that someone else is responsible for your life or that you are separate from life. Practice transparency and radical self-acceptance, and you will discover your magnificence. Here are questions for contemplation. Where are you your own worst enemy? What and who do you tend to complain most about or blame? Where do you feel most like a victim? Be honest. What systems or structures do you find yourself relying on or hiding behind? What might happen if you let them go? Think of a time in your life you felt free and empowered. How would you describe your overall attitude at the time? And go one day without complaining or blaming. See what happens. Gosh, I love that one. I just love that gate 55, the gene key 55. So love this message for the dragonfly. Indeed, there is a great story for those of you who have the Gene Keys book. If you bring out the Gene Key 55 and read that Gene Key, it's a fairly long one because it is the hint of what's to come for us in this human design solar plexus mutation that's occurring. It's the evolutionary energy. So it's the outer changes that are embodied in the gate 55 or the gene key 55, interchangeable words there. So check it out, read it fully and really take it in. I have that chapter or that gate so highlighted in my book and so many notes that I've taken on it because I just love that feeling. And the story of the dragonfly really shows it's about the life cycle of the dragonfly. And it really shows this idea of freedom and what the true 55 is all about, the blossoming of us as human beings. So there we have our freedom. The other gate the sun is at, and I'm doing this today because tomorrow's going to be a busy day. We have intimacy. This is our face of intimacy, gene key 59. This is where the sun is setting. Look at her chin. What is that? A little gorilla? Indeed, a little gorilla with a crane, a stork, an ibis on her forehead. Love it. And the little hands, did you see the healing hands in her ears? All right, let's read this one really quickly. So 59, this is where the sun is. So the sun and the earth create a challenge between each other, or rather the energy of freedom and freedom creates a challenge to the sun here in creating a pathway to intimacy and bonding. So here we have the gate 59. In the gift, it is intimacy. In the Siddhi, it is transparency. And the shadow is dishonesty. And it says, as this heart opening occurs, true intimacy is born and two people meet within a single awareness. Here's the wisdom story. My parents had strong chemistry, but their relationship was fraught with tension and conflict. My father constantly complained about being trapped. When he went out at night, my mother would bombard him with intrusive questions and throw fits when he wouldn't fess up to his latest extramarital escapade. Usually he'd go off in a huff, removing himself from family activities. But instead of sharing how excluded he felt, the whole fiasco would repeat itself. Throughout my childhood, my parents kept so many secrets and never came clean with their hurts. I was a deep, shy, and introverted teen. Unlike my siblings, I could never figure out how to interact with the opposite sex. It all seemed so messy. So I stayed home while my siblings dated and felt excluded like my mother. Even when they invited me along or tried to set me up, I was convinced they just pitied me and didn't want me there, so I refused. As I got older, I developed friendships with men, but was never attracted to the nice ones. When with someone I felt attracted to, usually a bad boy, I'd feel a surge of mistrust and shut down until I met a man I couldn't resist. Our sexual chemistry was so powerful, it felt spiritual. For the first time, I fantasized about marriage and children. He wasn't a bad man, and I sincerely believed he cared about me, but I couldn't control my fears or their control over me. To avoid losing him, I hid aspects of who I was and played games to keep him interested. I often doubted why he wanted to be with me, so I excluded myself from his social life and then felt rejected. Or when I felt him slipping away, I tried to prevent him from having a social life. When he called me controlling, jealous, and dishonest, I broke up with him. It took me a long time to grieve the loss of that relationship and to feel the terror beneath the sadness and anger that I'd been carrying with me since childhood. That was the beginning of a long journey towards radical honesty with myself and in my relationships. Today, my beloved partner and I counsel couples, helping them own their fears, share their truth, open their ears and their hearts to each other without pulling or pushing away. Intimacy is my greatest teacher and my spiritual path. My gift to you, it's time to come clean with the people you love. To be truly intimate, you must be totally honest with yourself and be willing to accept and express your deepest fears. Understand, when you open a door to another person, you are letting go of control and opening yourself up to being influenced on a deep emotional level. If you carry wounds from the past, as most of us do, this can be scary. Whether you fear being trapped or abandoned, do not judge your feelings. You will be rewarded with unleashed creativity, beauty, and sensuality, and the wonderful possibility of communing with another human being in one field of awareness. There's no limit to what two open hearts can do together. I love that. Here are questions for contemplation. Is your fear of being abandoned by a romantic partner keeping you from being honest, from committing more fully? Is it causing you to over-seduce or try to control your partner? Is your fear of being trapped sabotaging a current or potential relationship? Are you often planning your escape? Ooh. Do you sometimes feel excluded or exclude yourself out of fear? Are you often puzzled by the people you are attracted to? Think of a time when you were courageously transparent. How were you received? How did you feel? Journal and reflect upon your biggest relational edges when it comes to trusting others. How can you stretch yourself? Wow, those are deep. I don't think this is one day kind of contemplation. This is like over lifetime of contemplation here. Cool. By the way, this is Rosie Aronson's book, and it is a deck of cards. So there are all the cards that are the faces of the wisdom, faces of wisdom. And it's a wonderful deck of cards. Even if you really don't understand the gene keys or human design, get the deck, right? You'll learn more about yourself through those stories. Oh, and they're just beautiful. All right, I'm heading back to see what's going on over here. Going down to the bottom. You know, the tough professor that is usually the most soft-hearted, that's Saturn. Ha-ha, yes. Okay, well, I'm going to let you guys carry on the conversation there because I need to go back to some more of the astrology of the day today. Today, as we are, as I said earlier in the broadcast, we are coming to Mercury trine Uranus and also Venus opposing Jupiter, two biggies in one day. I told you this was that kind of a week with ups and downs. Well, today we have these ups. Mercury trine Uranus is really a very good transit. It can bring some surprises. Don't, anytime you've got Uranus in there, things can happen unexpectedly. But with Mercury, it's about bringing out your originality, right? Bringing out your original ideas, being true to you and authentically you, whatever that is, allowing it out to come out and play. Here is where this connection between the mind of Mercury and Uranus's surprises in the rebellion and liberation that comes from those, from Uranus, is brilliance and genius showing through. Where, to me, when I look at human design, for example, there everybody has the channel 4323. It may be defined. It may only be partially defined with either just gate 23 or gate 43. It may be completely open, as in you don't have any planets sitting there by birth. But that doesn't mean that you don't carry genius or that you aren't brilliant, because everybody has this kernel of genius within them. And it comes out and shows up when you're living your truth, when you're living authentically you and not trying to be someone that you're not, or trying to be someone that another person might want you to be. So always remember that you are a genius. Genius isn't about IQ. It isn't about EQ. It isn't about any of that. It's about what makes you uniquely you, and how do you express that? That's your brilliance. That's your genius. And you all have it. All of us have some place where we are brilliant. It's time to bring that out. It's time to play to that and not what you think you don't have, or the fear that you're not good enough, etc. This may also be a day of surprising epiphanies, revelations, aha moments. Hard to say where they might come from or what they might be related to, but they happen when we have this connection going on with Uranus and Mercury, of course, the mind. You might have some stellar idea and you're thinking, why did I never think of that before? Why didn't I think of doing that before, right? I could have had a V8. So it's that kind of day. Be prepared, be ready, be excited when it happens. And even if you don't think it's happened, maybe the seeds were planted for some kind of revelation. You just don't know about it yet, right? Yet. Venus opposing Jupiter. Now, these are two of the benefic planets. Venus, love, and our values, and our finances, our relationships. And Jupiter is about growth and optimism and our wisdom gathering, right? The journey to gather wisdom, to know more, to see from a higher perspective. So the two of them together in any kind of configuration can often bring us to the side of overindulgence, let's say. But Venus opposing Jupiter can do too much of a good thing is still too much, right? It's that kind of over-imbibing. Too much of a good thing can be just as bad as not enough of a good thing, right? So we have to be proportional in everything that we do today. It asks us to look at what our needs are, our true needs versus our imagined needs, so that we can stick to what it is that we value, so that we're in resonance with what is our true self, what is our true values. Watch all of the overs, overspending, overeating, overimbibing, overindulging, overdoing, because those are things that we do. Sometimes with this, we kind of lose sight of the proportion of things, right? What's proportional is staying sort of within some boundaries, and this pushes the boundaries, let's say. So we want to push a little bit and grow some, but we don't want to go so far that we end up being sorry that we have done it, or that we, you know, get caught up in now having to backpedal or, deal with the results of overdoing anything, right? So I hope that makes sense for everybody. So both of these transits together, even though one is in opposition, and that usually has the more negative connotation, they're really pretty good planets working together today. Now, remember, the moon has that square going on to the sun today. So it may be you as well looking at these transits, getting great ideas about how to move through or flow with any obstacles that have shown up, And or with Venus opposing Jupiter, maybe you discover that the obstacle is really that you've been trying to go too fast. You've been trying to go too far, too fast, not waiting for the right signals from the universe for the timing of something, or for, you know, being in the right place at the right time with the right opportunities. That's what this is all about. So there's our two big transits. Now let's look at the Pleiadian energy for the day. Here's where you're really going to see some of that dovetailing with the moon being in Sagittarius. Today is 13 planting. So we are finishing up. We are completing the cycle that began on August 13th, that one choosing, right? Where we had the umbrella energy. The one always presents us with the umbrella energy. That's the pulse of energy that goes out through the spiral of consciousness for the 13 full days. It's the overriding energy. It isn't the full energy of the days. I hope that makes sense. So it's like having, you know, this bigger thing here that is the energy of choosing, right? What road am I going to choose? But then that affects all of the other days somehow, right? So you're playing out the effects of the choice, let's say. So now we've come to the ascension point, right? Where we're going within, we're going into the cradle, the void, the womb, and we get to get direction from there. We get to sort of come to an awareness of all that we've experienced over the previous 13 days, how that's applied to that umbrella energy of choosing. And then we get to prepare for what comes next. We get to go into the quiet, into the void, into the space of waiting to hear the voice of source or spirit or God, whatever you want to call it, that gives us direction for what comes next, right? With tomorrow, we move into, funny, one moving energy. So we are taking action now on something. So today we have to build up that awareness of what direction that's going to take us in. We're preparing to move up. This is a natural cycle of time, by the way, where 13 plays a natural sacred role in helping us to ascend through the different levels of the spirals of consciousness. So we're going into the void to hear guidance for the next cycle. Planting is the earth energy of the day. In the Mayan calendar, this was Khan. It was the lucky day, right? This is the luck of new beginnings. It is a very positive energy. It is extroverted energy. It is moving outward energy, where new perspectives, new perceptions, new ideas, new growth, new creative impulses are just there ready for us to take part in. And that comes from the quiet space, right? And if you're all busy running around all day, likely you're going to miss something. So make sure you take some time today to go within. The new beginnings can happen in business, in your relationships, in your adventures, all throughout your life, right? It's like a mini new moon time. Sharing ideas with others, right? Including, you know, building a community and bringing people together to work together as a team to be able to build something new. And above all, the energy of planting is about being your best self, right? Being you, because only you can do you. Right? Being you, doing you. All right. So that's a pretty good day, right? I hope you see the similarities there between the Pleiadian energy of the day and the moon in Sagittarius. I love seeing that. And every time I see it, I just want to keep validating that is a part of our experience here. All right. Now I'm going to go back and deal with people. Talk with people. How did I get back to the beginning? Oh my goodness. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Christine and JLo. I think I saw you do that earlier as well. Please, if you're liking my videos, hit the thumbs up button. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the video, please do so. Right underneath, you see a subscribe. There's also a little bell there where you can hit to get notifications of when I do come on live. Although all of you seem to know to find me here at 8 a.m. and I don't usually come on other times of the day, but you never know. So make sure you do that. Let's see. JLo says, I say I'm brilliant and explaining things differently. My kids showed me that it's a supermom power. That's awesome, right? Own it. Be that. J-Lo also says, I have one that has it both defined centers and they connect. I hope she hones in on it as she grows in this life. 4323 is what I think you're talking about. The 4323 is an interesting channel in human design, as I go off on a little tangent here for a moment. We often call it the freak to genius channel. It's that sometimes that gate 43 can really see into the future. Like it really sees the possibilities, the high side of everything. And it thinks differently. It thinks outside of the box. So, and I think we've probably all known people like this who just, no matter what's going on, they just see it differently. And if there's a problem to be solved, they can solve it from a completely different way. So the freak part of this is someone that maybe feels like or acts like they are a little ahead of their time, that they see things completely differently from everyone else, which can sometimes make them feel like a bit of an outsider, but their genius is defined and it's moving down toward the throat if she has the complete channel, which means at some point that genius needs to be shared with the world because it's connected to the throat center. Now, the issue with that is sometimes when we share genius before the world is ready to hear it, we can be looked at as a freak. And that is why we ended up with that sort of fun little name there, because the sharing of our genius comes with an invitation when we are invited to share it. When someone says, hi, you know, J-Lo, you're awfully quiet back there. Why don't you share with us what you're thinking or what ideas do you have? Then it opens up that throat and the sharing then becomes valued, heard, recognized. If you were to just download that information to someone, they likely wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't understand it. And worse yet, they can get scooped later, 2-3 weeks down the line when someone else says the exact same thing, but it happens to be in the right timing and they get credit for an idea that you threw out there much earlier, right? So have her be very aware of her genius and sharing that genius in the right time with the right people in the right way, right? Connecting it to the throat means doing it with that invitation. When someone says, I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what you have to say. Tell me, or her being able to ask questions so that she can get that invitation running. So it's a great channel, great, great channel. Joy Ann, parenting with human design awareness is exciting for liberation for future generations. I believe you are so right. If you are, not many parents think about doing this, but I think in the times that we're in, it's becoming very, very important that parents know their children. And you know them because you live with them and you love them and you're unconditionally loving them. But they also have a human design. Inadvertently, you can be shutting down parts of their human design. Even from your wanting to love them and through discipline and raising them, you can be damaging them through conditioning. So it's so important. And no one wants to think that they've damaged their child. And I mean, what I mean to say here is that if you are aware of that child's design ahead of time, you can avoid those pitfalls, right? That can happen. Especially like there are channels like, or gates, like the gate 19 is a gate of super sensitivity and vulnerability to criticism. And that particular child, you may be loud and yelling at other children or disciplining other children, and they're doing just fine with that kind of discipline. And this one child breaks down or hides, you know, and shuts themselves down because the gate 19 can't have that kind of discipline meted out to them because it goes to their vulnerability, their sensitivity. So they're very sensitive to the environment, to foods, to the sound level in the house, to the parents, to discipline, all of that kind of stuff. And if you know that ahead of time, how wonderful is that to know? They have to be a little more gentle with this child. Doesn't mean you don't discipline or that you don't, you know, teach them what's right from wrong. It means that you do it in a more gentle way. So it helps you to be able to be to be more honed in on the specifics of each one of these entities that you've brought into your world. So I wish I had known that when I was, and I think parents, you all are raising children that you've intuitively connected to something like that, where you're like, well, this child's different and I can't do things the same way that I did with the others. I had one projector child and I had three that were generators or manifesting generators. And he was the one that always seemed to be the discipline problem or the crazy one, doing things in the most crazy, insane sort of way. And he was taking in everybody else's sacral energy. And at the time, I did not know that. So a projector child in the midst of a family full of generators is going to take on all that energy, and he or she will be the one that has discipline issues, who ends up looking like they have ADHD or ADD, those kinds of things, because they're hyper. They're taking on all that energy and it isn't theirs. So teachers would also benefit from this, knowing human design. Unfortunately, I don't think the school system's quite ready to believe that there is something true and valuable in astrology of any type, much less human design. So, kind of interesting to think about how that would look, right? How would that look if our schools treated everybody as individuals rather than group think, group teach, right? Not everybody's the same, but they have the expectation that everybody's going to sit still and do what they need to do. And that just doesn't work. The best teachers out there are the ones that see that there's something going on with that student that's a little different, and maybe reach out to the parent to find out what it is they could do for to support that child. Andy girl, finding the human designs for both my boys has been so helpful. Exactly. Now it's learning more how to help them flourish and thrive with who they are. And the more you learn about human design in general, the easier that becomes. But also knowing yourself first, right? Know yourself first. Because when you know yourself and you're allowing yourself to be authentic and to express your authority in the correct way, automatically you reach that outward from you to others, and you embrace this idea of letting them be themselves. That when you see, especially children, younger children from 7 and under, they're being their authentic selves. And if you can see that and embrace that and, make that flourish within them, the better chances are that you're going to have a well-adjusted child. Okay, homeschooling such a gift. Yes, indeed, Joanne. I did homeschool a couple of my kids because the school just was eating them up. And I didn't like that. Even though I didn't know human design at the time. I had no idea human design was even hadn't entered into my awareness at that point in time. Once it did, though, it made much sense to me as to why that was happening. Amanda J, knowing kids' moon signs would help too. I think schools would change if they look deeper into the child's needs like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. But unfortunately, astrology is still considered a voodoo science. And that means even human design is probably initially at least looked at like that, even though it isn't maybe as spooky to some people as astrology is itself. But we know these things, right? You guys can get charts for your kids. You guys can find information that's helpful to raising your kids and being you, right? Learning about you and how to be yourself. All of those things are things you can do. And I would encourage that, right? From if all you can do right now is know yourself, that is the one thing that you can do that will support even your family. Because if you're being true to you, they pick up the message that, hey, I can be true to me, right? It's a subconscious signal, even maybe, that goes out to those around you that they can be themselves. Okay, I think that is it for me. Is there anything else? I don't see any other great comments, though, going on. I love that you guys support each other in there as well. And question, Pauline says, what is a generator versus a manifester? So a generator and a manifesting generator are the two types that have defined sacral centers. Let me share a chart with you really quickly. Where did I put that this morning? Here we go. So here's the just now human design chart. We'll pretend it's a person. So here is the sacral center, Pauline. It is the second center up from the bottom. And in human design, the centers are either defined or open. When they are colored in, they are defined and a defined center broadcasts authentic energy. If this were a person, they have authentic head, ajna, throat, and emotional energy that they're broadcasting. So this actually would be the chart of a manifester, and I'll talk about that in a minute as to why that is, but I'll be able to tell you why. The sacral center here, or any center that's white, is open, and that means it is absorbing the energy from the environment through the people they come in contact with, through the planetary transits. So this is where conditioning resides in a chart, in the open centers, in the open channels, and in the open gates, because that is where you're taking in the energy of everybody around you. And then the tendency is you take that energy in, you make it bigger or amplify it and rebroadcast it, thinking that it's your own authentic energy, but it isn't your own energy. So when we have the sacral open like this, this person is taking in the energy from all of the generators and manifesting generators who would have this center defined. They're amplifying that energy and rebroadcasting it out there. So they become easily overwhelmed by the energy of doingness. So they're doing more than everybody else, but they're burning themselves out as they do it because this energy isn't sustainable. In the sacral for manifesting generators and generators, this energy is sustainable. So it depends. If it's a pure generator, they do not have any of these four motors that make it to the throat center. In a generator that has that motor, let's say this is red, and that would make this person a manifesting generator because there is a motor that makes it to the throat. But as it is, this is a chart of a manifester. And this is manifester chart happens because it is an open sacral, right? The manifestors, the projectors, and the reflectors have an open sacral center. So they are beings that are taking in all of the energy that 70% of the population who are generators and manifesting generators are putting out. They're absorbing it, amplifying it, and rebroadcasting it. This is a manifester because one of the motors makes it directly to the throat. The motors are the heart center, the solar plexus, the sacral, and the root center. So if any energies from these four motors goes to the throat, then and the sacral is defined, it's a manifesting generator. And then if it isn't, it is a manifester. So this chart here is manifester. And it is because the emotional center goes directly to the throat center. But even so, this person is not meant to do things the same way that the generator types do, because this energy in their sacral is not sustainable. When this is red or defined, you have access to sustainable life force energy. So she has to make sure, if this were a person, she would have to make sure she takes frequent breaks, that she doesn't take on any projects that don't feel good to her, right? That's what this is about, the feeling that this feels good, this feels correct, this feels right, this feels true. When she or he does that, then they find themselves with enough energy to complete the project. Then they go back into rest and they wait for the next creative idea as a manifester to show them what comes next. It's pretty deep, and that's a great question. And I hope that helps answer that question for you, Pauline. So true. Okay, so when doing the houses thoroughly, I think you're talking about, when am I going to do that? I'll probably start that next week when I start the human design aspects for the people in the membership. So we'll talk more about that next week. By the way, reminder, tomorrow, Wednesday, I will be here in the morning. I'm going to be talking myself silly tomorrow. I will be on Angel Heart Radio at 5 o'clock with Annette McCoy talking about Mars retrograde. You will find me on their Facebook page, Angel Heart Radio, and that will be at 5 p.m. Pacific time to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And then at 6:30 Pacific time, I will be again on Angel Heart Radio, this time with Anaya and with Carol Ann. And we're going to be continuing our conversation about the solar plexus mutation in human design. So that will be from 6:30 to 7:30 West Coast time, Pacific time, a little bit later in the evening. Both shows are recorded and will be on that Facebook page for you to look at later or on another day, right? But if you can join us live, then you can ask questions. Ah, we love that. Okay, that is it for me today. I hope you all have a fabulous day. Remember, you might get some brilliant ideas today. And remember to keep things in proportion. Don't go overboard. See you all tomorrow morning. Bye.